The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them to even eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if his house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property, unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin, for they had said he has an unclean spirit. His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated with him, he said, "Here are my brothers and my mother. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Good morning, everyone. As we normally do, we start with our prayer for vocations, and it's also in your order of worship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Once again, good morning, everyone. I want to begin this morning with a quotation. It goes like this. "I was raised without religion. I don't believe in a higher power. I am instinctively hostile to any kind of religion." Close quote. By Anthony Bourdain, American chef and television personality, 61 years old, on June 8th, found dead by suicide. We have a problem in America. We have an epidemic of suicide. And I'm convinced the soaring rate of suicide is the direct result of the epidemic of the disconnect from the divine. Now listen, I have a psychology degree, but it's like 35 years old, and it's only a BA. But at least it shows I have an interest in psychology, and I've also spirituality. Now, the two intersect with each other. And I've kind of leaned into this throughout my priesthood, certainly not taking any high-end courses, but trying to be well-read in this area. There was an interesting article by the Los Angeles Times. Now, the Los Angeles Times, it's not a ultra-conservative newspaper. It had an article that was entitled, Church Attendance Linked with a Reduced Risk of Suicide, Especially for Catholics, study says. And in the article it said, Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology, now I want to stop there. Even back in the 80s when I was getting my psychology degree, we were a little bit tired of Sigmund Freud, all right? He denounced religious belief as the universal obsessional neurosis of humanity. But much current research, however, has focused not only on the deep not only the deep biological underpinnings of religiosity, but its potential benefits as well. Against a grim backdrop of rising suicide rates among American women, new research has revealed a blinding shaft of light. One group of women practicing Catholics appears to have bucked the national trend toward despair and self-harm. Compared with women who never participated in religious services, women who attended any religious service once a week or more were 5 times less likely to commit suicide between the years 1996 and 2010, says a study published by the Journal of American Medical Association in Psychiatry. The women's church attendance was not the only factor. Which church they attended mattered as well. Protestant women who worshiped weekly at church were far less likely to take their own lives than were women who seldom or never attended services. But these same Protestant women were still 7 times more likely to die by their own hand than were their devout Catholic sisters. Among especially devout Catholic women, those in the pews more than once a week, suicides were a vanishing phenomenon. Among the 6,999 Catholic women who said they attended Mass more than once a week, there was not a single suicide. We all know this, don't we? What's going on in America? Like I said, this soaring rate of suicide is directly connected to the disconnect from the divine. At the same time we're seeing these soaring suicide rates, we're seeing plummeting figures of people who bother practicing their faith or have any faith at all in our country. The tragedy or the great epidemic is spiritual in nature. You know, in this classic scene we saw in Genesis this morning, we see Adam hid himself. Why is that? Sin always involves an alienation from God, a wandering away. And in this scene, we see God is seeking him out. Where are you? He says. That's that compelling tug, isn't it? God's always trying to reach out to us, but we have to make that decision. It's that conviction that we are not where we are supposed to be when we sin and we feel alienated or separated or disconnected from the divine life of God. You know, in a discussion of this topic of the relation of faith and suicide, one woman said, I was an atheist for about 20 years, and trust me when I tell you secretly the entire time, I wanted God to exist because the thought of nothingness after death terrified me to the very core of my being. I'd awaken in the middle of the night in panic attacks regularly because I was afraid to die and be consumed by the cold blackness. Outwardly, however, I was proud of my intellectual superiority over those silly religious who believed in fairy tales. It was all an act. I envied their faith, their joy, and their happiness, because inside I was empty and sad. I was lonely. I didn't think anyone loved me. If you lack hope, then suicide is always on the table. For me, knowing that God loved me enough to die for me changed everything, and in a radical way. Now, I no longer cry myself to sleep at night. You see, prior to original sin, Adam was not afraid of God. He walked in easy fellowship with God. This is what God wants, that we walk with Him in the garden, that we walk in rhythm with Him, that we walk in peace. In alienation, we feel, oh, He's angry with me, and I'm afraid. God wants us here. God wants us here at all times. I've said this before, and I'll continue saying it. When I think of people outside of this, I literally panic. Because you're alienated. You've wandered off. You're in the Badlands. Satan can manipulate your life, your thoughts. Yeah, there's a chance you're destined for eternal damnation, but what about now? Where's that peace? Where's that joy? Where's that happiness? Where's that walk in the garden? Not afraid of God. Yeah, we call that fear of the Lord, right? Fear of the Lord is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But again, I remind us over and over again, fear of the Lord doesn't mean we're afraid of God. Fear of the Lord means I love you so much. I just don't want to offend you. I'm afraid of offending you because you're so awful. I want to do it exactly your way. And that brings me joy. That brings me meaning and purpose. It fills the void of emptiness because you know what? Now that's what I live for. And so every day, with that in our heart, in our soul, our very being, wanting to please God every day, we hurl out of bed. What's my missions today, Lord? What do you have in mind? Of course, we're called to make an impact like so many did for this woman who shared her thoughts. This once atheist woman caught in her darkness, waking up in the middle of the night, worrying about death. What changed her? It was your joy. It was your happiness that changed her. She saw that you found something. But brothers and sisters, we need to make an impact on people. I think I brought it in just about every homily in the last year. Turn up the corners of your mouth when you come in contact with someone. That's your mission. Every time someone gets here, that's your mission. You don't know how many people you may have turn their thoughts from even suicide into wondering what you got, wondering what the source is, wondering how you filled that emptiness inside of you. Because it's apparent. See, I see it. I see your joy. I see your happiness. And I want that. The world should say, whenever they come in contact with you, there'll be grandiose missions. We'll get awards for those, right? But if we miss the little missions, we miss everything. Then we're in it for the awards, not for saving souls like this, whose lives can be changed by the corners of your mouth.